The Lord be with you.
And with
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what can one give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in his Father's glory, and then he will repay each according to his conduct. Amen, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." The Gospel of the Lord. I experienced one of the most life-changing conversations of my life when I was 22 years old, and I have since shared that brief exchange to help other people change their lives too. I was going through an especially rough patch in seminary. Everything felt hard. I was plagued with doubts about being a priest, and I felt many temptations to just leave the seminary. That summer, I returned to Little Rock and met with my spiritual director, Monsignor Gaston Hébert. As I was moaning and groaning about how hard my life was, he calmly said, "John, this is your cross. You must learn to carry it." Now think for a moment of all the other responses Monsignor Hébert could have given me, which would have been much more sympathetic, by the way. He could have said, "You're right, John. Life is unfair. You have every right to complain and shake your fist at heaven." Or he might have said, "Yes, these are troubles and probably signs that God does not want you to be a priest. After all, God wants you to be happy." Or he might have offered, "Yes, this is too much stress. Let's get a couple of martinis so we can take the edge off." But he didn't say anything sympathetic. Instead, he talked about the value of suffering and carrying your cross. And I still remember vividly my utter astonishment and surprise at his words. I thought incredulously, "This is the cross Jesus says to carry?" And what really shocked me was the realization one does not get to choose one's cross. Our crosses choose us. And I have shared Monsignor Hébert's advice with countless other people in the last 35 years. Don't run from your cross. Don't complain about your cross. And don't drink a martini while carrying your cross, because you'll fumble and drop them both, the cross and the martini. When couples experience marriage problems, when someone is afflicted with a terminal illness, when someone loses a job or is abandoned by family or friends, when old age robs us of the strength of mind and body, I say, as gently as possible, "This is your cross. You must learn to carry it." And I see that same surprising realization dawn on their faces. Wait, this is what Jesus was talking about? And they begin to understand, we don't choose our crosses, but rather our crosses choose us. In the Gospel today from Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 28, we reach a critical juncture with Jesus and his merry band of brothers, the apostles. You may recall that immediately before this episode, Peter has professed the faith of the church that Jesus is truly God, the Messiah, the Christ. And Jesus, for his part, answers with the faith of the church that Peter is the rock on which Jesus will build his church, so that the gates of Hades may not prevail against it. But do you recall the following exchange? Jesus predicts his passion, death, and resurrection, and the first pope drops the cross and the martini when he says, "God forbid, Lord, no such thing shall ever happen to you." And Jesus called Peter Satan. Peter reacted like so many sympathetic but misguided counselors over the ages. He tried to tell Jesus not to carry the cross, or more precisely, he told him, "Wait till you find a lighter cross, not the heaviest cross of all, with the weight of the sins of the whole world." In other words, you should choose your cross. Don't let the cross choose you. And then follows the passage we just heard. Jesus answers all the apostles, who, by the way, were thinking the same thing as Peter, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." It's as simple as that. You can't be a Christian without a cross. My friends, the reason this basic rule of discipleship surprises us, like it shocked me when I heard it at 22, is because we live in a culture that shuns all forms of suffering and sacrifice. The great American pastime is not carrying the cross, but seeking creature comforts. We have produced a pill for every ache and pain. And so when some suffering comes our way, we run from the cross. We complain about the unfairness of the cross, and we drink a martini to numb the pain of the cross. So here's my strategy to put Monsignor Hebert and Jesus' advice today into practice. First, learn to carry smaller crosses, which we get to pick, so that when the heavier crosses come, which we don't get to pick, we have the spiritual muscles to shoulder them. For example, drink your coffee black without any cream or sugar. Eat your French fries without ketchup. Go to bed at 9 and wake up when the alarm goes off the first time. Pray the rosary every day, even when you don't feel like praying. Call or text your family even when they don't call or text you. Read a book for 30 minutes before you turn on the TV to relax. In other words, when we learn to carry the crosses, we can choose the small ones. We might not be as shocked or scandalized when the heavier crosses choose us. And then we won't drop the cross or the martini. Praise to be Jesus Christ.